Welcome to another episode of the Not The 92 podcast. Myself, Armin Nutt and Tom Mitchell back again after some sorry weekend for our parent clubs, the ones we care more about than some in England. We've now decided to regress from worrying about them for a little while as the international break takes over. But our love for non-league does not stop. And particularly after another ridiculous week of National League football, we bring you some more updates from the world of the National League, as well as some big news in regards to why Step 2 didn't get their mini-league. Lots more to talk about as well in the next few minutes. As always, myself, I am here. Tom, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all good. Thanks, Ahmed. Again, the National League football the past week certainly has delivered, as usual, more twists and turns. And yeah, can't wait to get stuck into that, talking about that this evening, along with a few bits of other news around the non-league world as well.
Yes, and a bit of breaking news that came out just as soon as we were about to start recording. So we're going to get right into that very shortly. But before we do, the usual promotional spiel must be dealt with first. We must, as always, thank Moo Party for A Stranger Living in My Head, the intro song to our podcast. Fantastic band and great support from our friends up in Scotland, in particular because Greg Clark loves them very, very much. So shout out to them up there, and please follow their socials and their Spotify and all that stuff in the description, as always. And thank you to Firing Sports World for supporting us, as they are one of the finest kit makers for non-league football clubs around the UK. They make some excellent kits, great drips as well, and are greatly supporting our podcast for many a month now. So thanks to them, and the website is also below as well. Finally, obviously, official Sestos back again, giving us a bit of love. We're more or less glad to shout them up this week, and hopefully we'll get more of an opportunity to express their love. We'll see them soon, hopefully, when the season gets going again. And finally, one more huge plug. We have obviously, if you've not seen our Twitter, we've finally released a Not The 92 Extra with Chris Commons, former Celtic Derby and Nottingham Forest midfielder. An absolutely incredible pod. I loved listening to it for the longevity that Tom and Greg did. Talk to Chris. He was a fantastic guest, and we're so happy he was able to accommodate his time to talk to us. So please, if you can, check that out. It is in our show reel on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, or even Acast. However you listen to us, you'll be able to see that here at podcast, and it is top quality stuff. It really is some great things on that pod, and I'm sure Tom just as much enjoyed it too. Tom,
yeah, thoroughly enjoyed talking to Chris. Didn't let us down with the stories. Some great insights into life as a player in the game. Also, for you Notts County listeners, he did touch upon when he was a YTS at Notts County. Why it didn't quite work out for him then. How he moved to Stoke, where he really got his youth career kicking. And obviously, went on to have a pretty good career in the game, where obviously he talked about plenty of ups and downs, and all the good stuff, and also the very interesting moments he had with different players and different managers in the game. It includes the likes of first glimpses of Kieran Tierney, Virgil van Dijk, you know, top players now in the Premier League. So obviously they all started off at Celtic. So yeah, brilliant stories like that. You can hear that in that podcast.
Terrific. And we urge you to, if you love the Chris Commons one, we have more excellent Not The 92 Extras that you can also listen to from the months gone by, where we've had many a guest on. We have another one coming on soon, one of Graham's favourites, I think. We can announce it later on, but we're not going to spoil it just now. But that is another one coming up soon. I'm also in talks, you know, behind-the-scenes talks, to try and coax in Oxford United superstar and former ITV presenter Jim Rosenthal onto the show. It's not going to be easy, but fingers crossed, I've messaged him. We're hoping to get him on for the next Not The 92 Extra in the future. But that's stuff in the pipeline, of course. Fingers crossed, as always. I'm keen to get him on. He's got many stories, I'm sure, says about his time in broadcasting and, you know, getting grilled in Poland and stuff like that, and traveling all over the world to stand in heat and sweat for a few hours. But that's stories for another day. So, as always, let's get right into the drip of it. And quite literally, we have some breaking news. As soon as we were about to record the pod, we were waffling a lot about our, you know, respective club struggles at the weekend. Suddenly, we look on Twitter and find the FA have released a small excerpt on the Twitter this evening. Now, I've had to use Ollie Bayliss's Twitter to dumb it down for us, because it's obviously long-winded and we don't want to spend all night long, you know, blowing our brains out on useless spiel from the FA. Nowadays, we don't really give much of a notice to that. actions. Obviously, first and foremost, they have yet to ratify the decision to curtail the Step 2 season, which is a bit of a strange one. It's obviously clear they don't want the continuation of the league at any form, be it in a mini-league or in any way, this season being played to a finish. So, and all clubs can no longer financially manage it. So in the end, the votes in February led to the end of the season. Well, tonight, the FA have explained to clubs why they didn't support Step 2's mini-league idea a few weeks ago. It says the following through Oli Bayliss' Twitter. The FA outlines 11 factors were considered that include concluding that the committee did not consider that the proposed competition to be in the interests of the integrity of the National League system. While the committee also took note of the fact that a majority of clubs within Step 2 expressed support for the competition, only 35% of those clubs indicated that they would take part. And the majority of Step 1 clubs voted against the complete competition and promotion to the Step 1, meaning no relegation from the National League. Their fate says the resolutions are circulated by the National League are not binding. However, the committee nevertheless considered the outcome of the resolutions to be relevant and as an expression of the views of all the member clubs involved. So, in short, the FA saw that a lot of the clubs that were in Step 2 did not want to play in this mini league this season. And it also may have put the integrity of the league into question should there have been promotion from National League down to National League North and South through this mini competition. And while lots of those clubs are the majority being the 18 that signed a letter, obviously asking for the FA to consider alternative proposals to play football this season and find a way to get promotion and relegation sorted from both divisions, it ultimately led to a huge argument and this mini league being proposed. Now it's been rejected, but they still haven't curtailed the season, which is very strange. Tom, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. It's been the best part of 8 weeks now since National League North and South Football has stopped playing and officially, and we still are none the wiser as to, in any case, them ever considering curtailing the season. What are they exactly planning to do?
Yeah, it's... I think a lot of fans think this is a bizarre situation now. As you said, Ahmed, 8 weeks, you wouldn't think that's more than enough time to get it sorted. I mean, the reasons they've given for the mini league, I can completely understand. You know, obviously, the integrity, you know, it wasn't in the best interest of the National League system. And I can understand also why the majority of Step 1 clubs, you know, voted against the competition and promotion. You know, was it 35% of clubs indicated that they would take part? That, you know, obviously that's not a huge amount at all. But yeah, it's for me, you now wonder how is it going to go forward? I can only see one thing happening, and that is it being curtailed. I'm not sure why it hasn't been done now and straight away. I suppose. Obviously, one thing that they need to discuss is there going to be any relegation from Step 1 just for 100% definite? And I think, obviously, Dover is the situation that still needs to be sorted out. Obviously, if Dover to go down, would those clubs come back and say, can you sort, you know, can we try and sort out something? But for me, I completely understand why the mini league was rejected. For me, there's only really one direction that, you know, National League and the FA can go in now, and that is obviously it having to be curtailed for definite. And yeah, there isn't really any other solution. It was, you know, the mini league was the only thing that's proposed, and obviously the FA didn't think it was good enough. And I completely understand. And yeah, I see really no other option now. Even if Dover got relegated, I could still probably see no promotion anyway. To be honest, I think they'll find a way to obviously fit Dover in the system. So, yeah, I think at the moment that's where we're at, and I think that's what will happen. I see no other way, to be honest, Ahmed.
It's a shame, to be honest, and I feel like, not Sword Ship 2, but it's a shame that we haven't had a clear indication of what's going to happen with Dover. And we were going to come on to that as our next topic, strangely enough. But yeah, touching on Step 2 really quickly, it should soon be sooner rather than later. Mm. We know of the fate of the competition and what should really be curtailed sooner rather than later. We hope to know in the imminent future, because the FA have a lot on their plate. England are playing this week and a lot of other matters are at hand. I believe this weekend is also the intended period for the semi-finals of the FA Trophy, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I'm not counting on it, but we'll see. I'm quite sure we will see some action being made on Step 2. Now, touching on Derby, as Tom just stressed, obviously, while we are, you know, sitting here unsure about their situation, there is officially no relegation from the National League to the National League North and South this season, based on the fact that a large number of the updated apps and tables, including National League Zone, does not show relegation zones. So they've all been wiped clear of relegation. That means the current teams that were inhabiting those spots before they were removed, Dover, Weymouth, Barnet and Kings Lynn, who are all in the relegation zones irrespective of how long they were there for, can no longer be relegated, meaning this remaining part of the season is solely put down to being a test for them, just to see how they adapt to the league for next season, as we spoke about last week's pod, because it was very likely we wouldn't see much change between one and the other in terms of relegation and non-relegation. So, now what? So it's over. This week, we unfortunately haven't been able to access non-league paper, but Jim Parent has been talking to the NLP regarding the current situation. And there's also a lot of charges being put on Dover for non-fulfillment of fixtures. They are still technically in the league. Unfortunately, they can't play football because there's no money to be able to not only pay the players, but to also be able to run the ground for general costs such as flood lighting, backroom staff, and, you know, the ability to play football at the Crabble, which is a typical challenge for any National League club nowadays compared to before. Clubs are still playing now just on the basis that they are able to complete the season, particularly as they are, I won't say for any difference in National League North and South in financial terms, but they're able to, just based on the fact that there is potential that there could be worse to come if they didn't play this season. But Dover's scenario needs to be sorted sooner rather than later. We are looking very likely at 22 clubs being in the National League next season, and with no idea what will happen to the points clubs have picked up against Dover this season, we're a bit in the dark about it. So the sooner we find out, the better. The other thing which I think we need to consider is how important it is to Torquay United. This season, Torquay United have beaten Dover Athletic, and they picked up 3 points, I think, at home to them earlier this season when Dover weren't in such a terrible position financially. But clearly, they spent way too much money on transfers. I think this is probably where some of the club's decision-making this season has led to the situation that they're in now. Obviously, signing players, quite a lot of players as well, on, let's say, minimal fees, but enough to be able to start draining finances out of the club. That could possibly have been a reason. Now, nowadays, if you see the signings such as the ones like Paddy Madden, who left Fleetwood to join Stockport, you don't understand why Stockport made that move, because they had the ability to sign him just based on the fact they had the finances available to them, and also the ability to, or having had a takeover last year, they're still just slowly drip-feeding money into the club for specific use. So they're in a stable position. And they're paying players, top quality players as well, to be able to play for their club. So they're fortunate in that aspect. Same could be said for Notts County and Wrexham as well this season. So at the present moment, we're none the wiser as to what will happen with Dover Athletic. I wish we could tell you a conclusive answer, but we've already suggested previously on these podcasts they more or less will end up being relegated posthumously, and all points that they have achieved this season will be deducted and probably going to them back onto absolute zero. And we start next season with 22 teams, unless financial help comes through in the summer with the way the roadmap set with lockdown is set out. We should see finances start to come up again if fans are able to go back in post June 21st, particularly with pre-season coming up as well. Another bit of news, obviously, today. The National League have announced the dates for the official start for the 21-22 seasons. And we haven't finished this season yet. We haven't got a clue how it's going to finish yet. We know when next season will start. National League North and South will begin on the 14th of August. Best believe we'll be there to catch any opinions we can get from a manager on the situation. We're definitely going to be trips and grounds that weekend before the official start of the National League top the Premier Division on the 21st, so a week between one and the others. Personal opinion, I think this is fine. They have got more than enough time to prepare, to get friendly sorted. Lots of clubs are still playing them right now. I've seen recently Dorking playing a few, Darlington, etc., all playing friendlies in this period out. Lots of clubs are.
I suppose some clubs will also look at it, as you said, Ahmed, they'll look at the time to prepare a bit more. Obviously, we're getting friendlies organised. That'll bring a little bit more cash in as well. So I don't think some clubs will mind the start dates at all.
I agree. I think you need to make the most of all of the free time you get between now and August the 14th. In particular, because, well, some of us, me, maybe even Tom, are intending to attend one of your games. When the fixtures come out, we will be there. I will get the thoughts of many fans. Permitting fans are allowed in grounds, obviously, during this period with this uncertainty of the pandemic. We can't say if there'll be fans there or not. One thing for sure, we'll be there and we'll start talking to fans again and see what they think about this whole situation. And we'll add them to the show when we get to that point, particularly in North and South. I mean, Tom will find a team, National League North, in his area where he can get some ideas from, and I'll go to a team in the South and we'll gather a few ideas from them, especially about what they think. We'll also try to talk to a few chairmen as well, so we can get an honest opinion on the absolute shambles they've had to deal with in the summer. So do look out for that. It's 5 months away and we've still got a whole summer to go through, but even in the shutdown, we're still going to try and pod where we can to update you on situations, varying transfers and stuff like that, including even the fact we also will do a special in the summer on when the fixtures do come out, because around June time or somewhere like that, fixtures will come out, and regardless of which team you support, we're going to profile each team in each division. The National League doesn't change, but we will look again at seeing who's going to be favourite. So summer, as always, we won't dry up for content, just to reassure you. But yeah, in the short term, preparation time is key. Going back on Dover, just quickly, I've just realised something. Thomas Fain, who's one of the more influential non-league journalists, and he's got a big following on Twitter, has noted, obviously, with Dover, that if there are 3 points that each team picked up that are taken away, should their results be expunged, the teams that would have lost those points are Bromley, Stockport, Aldershot, Torquay, Altrincham, Woking, Kings Lynn, Dagenham, Wrexham, Solihull, and Yeovil. So that's 11 teams in the league. Boreham Wood will lose a point because they drew with them this season, and some improved goal difference would come for Eastleigh, Barnet, and Notts County. So just a little addition to the situation there. It'll be interesting because it affects the promotion race as well. But also, Notts County, who lost to them on the opening day, would I don't think it changes their points, but they gain a match from that match being expunged. So it could help them in their chase to the top of the table. Remember, they have the biggest, in terms of the top seven, have the biggest number of games to still play this season because they had 2 periods off due to COVID-19 issues. So they still have to play 4 matches on top of Sutton, who's still got to play 3 more this season. And that's not even taking into account the Dover match that they're not going to play later this season. So, you know, it's another twist in the tale, quite literally. Finally, we have got something on National League level, steps 3 to 6. It's a bit of a shame, really. But fans will not be able to re-attend matches at step 3 down step 6 when we get out of the second part of the first phase of lockdown on the 29th of March. This follows guidance from the FA given to many leagues who wish to start competitions or little cup mini leagues in the future between now and the end, between then and the end of the season. The original end of the season would have been 30th of May, but it's actually the 30th of June. So There are certain fans who are a bit disappointed not to be able to go there sooner. There was also last week a proposal put out in Parliament as to whether the FA Trophy and VARS finals for 2020 could be played in front of fans as a test event. Unfortunately, Oliver Dowden turned that down in the parliamentary situation. In the parliamentary scenario, he says he's not really willing to allow fans back in so soon, but he is looking as the developing as the pandemic situation develops and we go through the weeks, there could be a possible recommendation on it. But at the moment, the only legible event that is to be used as a test event to see if crowds are able to go back into grounds is the FA Cup final, which is to be played in front of 20,000 on the day of the 15th of May, 2 days before the next phase of lockdown ends, which is when we will see fans back in grounds for the last 2 to 3 Premier League games in the season. But for the National League, crucially, it will be the climax of the season, where in particular, we've highlighted it before, a couple of big teams meet each other, Sutton versus Hartlepool. If they're still in the hunt by then, that could be the killer game in that season, and then the final day for all the clubs in the league, particularly those in the playoff hunt. Obviously, no relegation, so nothing at stake at the bottom. It really is just to focus on the crazy run at the top. But who knows, 17 games to go, lots to profile. But it's time to talk about the National League itself. And as always, good Lord, have we been spoiled for action in the last week, Tom? Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, it's been some week, Ahmed, in the National League. Obviously, Sutton United, the big headliners, again, obviously, that game on Saturday, just going to quickly look on that. In my opinion, it's still not a bad point. I mean, the big turning point, obviously, you may be looking at is in Stockport's favour. Could that point be one of their biggest points, you know, in possibly gaining a top three place? You look at the conversation their fans have, and that would be one of the biggest targets for them to make sure that they're in the semi-finals of the playoffs. But yeah, for Sutton to, you know, to go and get that win away at Chesterfield, I don't think there's any shame in giving away a late equaliser to a top quality team. Sutton's still in a great position. It gives Hartlepool that little bit of faint hope, and Torquay as well, with them picking up much needed victories after they didn't have the greatest nights, obviously in the midweek set of fixtures. So it's still all to play for at the top, but with Sutton in a really good position. And just quick looking at another standout result for me was Eastleigh beating Halifax. That is a massive one in the race for the playoff spots. You know, Halifax have been one of the informed teams recently, so they would have been looking to build a gap on Eastleigh, but that just claws them closer together again, Eastleigh and Halifax. And you got Bromley in the middle with their win over Solihull Moors. So yeah, just giving the quick overview of the weekend, Ahmed, they are the standout moments for me from the weekend's meetings.
Brilliant from Tom, as always. And honestly, we have been spoiled for the last two match days. Terrific drama all over the league, particularly for Torquay United, who have had the most topsy-turvy week in known to man. We last week highlighted Maidenhead United on this podcast. We gave them a bit of love, and Alan Devish's side went to, you know, listen. I don't know if they listened to us, but one thing's for sure, it certainly helps. They thrashed Torquay 4-0 at York Road last Tuesday in a fantastic performance. One that really, 4-1 I should say, Bowden did make it a little respectable in the end. But two goals from Nathan Blissett, Daniel Orsi also scored, and Josh Coley gave them a convincing victory. An impressive performance from the Devonshire side, and they're showing no let up in their chase for the playoffs. Any team in the mid-table hunt is in the hope of a playoff if they get a run together. So no one is ruled out just yet. Quickly running through the rest of the results. No, it was a share the points at King's Lynn between them and Hartlepool, also promotion contenders. Stockport beat Barnet 2-1 with a late goal from Jay Stretton. Wrexham drew with Eastleigh in two of the playoff contenders' most competitive games this season. A very good tie there. Halifax came away with a win over Aldershot at home. They didn't have it all their own way, but left it late through a winner from Jamie Allen. Bournemouth and Oscati played an excellent 2-2 draw. Dagenham and Redbridge drew with Weymouth 1-1. Weymouth didn't play. Woking drew with Altrincham as well, 1-1 in that game. Late penalty from Josh Hancock. And Bromley went to Huish Park, a long journey, but have just literally squeezed a winner against Bromley. An own goal scored by Ruben Reed to give them 3 points. Keeping that playoff tight, playoff hopes very close, but also tight in that position. So Saturday offered, obviously, plenty. And lots of opportunities for clubs to close the gap. Tom's already highlighted the major result, which was Sutton United failing to beat Stockport County, albeit with 24 seconds remaining on the clock. Now, fans have been, you know, a little bit unhappy with the way Sutton treated that stoppage time period. Sutton took the lead for Harry Buterman in the second half for a fantastic glancing header from Aaron Simpson's cross. But for large chunks of the game, including in the first half, Sutton had so many chances. They had opportunities for Omar Bugil, Harry Buterman, who did the post in that first half. Paddy Madden could have scored it before even all that happened after smacking the crossbar for Stockport County. He even came close to getting a connection on a header in that first half as well. But Stockport tried and tried again, had a penalty turned down for, I believe it was stressing being fouled by Buterman, completely waved away by the referee on that occasion. It really, the tension ramped up as Sutton were hanging on to the lead. But Matt Gray made two substitutions in stoppage time. And obviously fans were wondering, okay, we get these players on, protect the position. But ultimately, you have as a referee an obligation to add time on if managers make substitutions during stoppage time. And on the rare occasion, referees will blow up as soon as the clock expires. This referee, which was David Richardson, opted to add time on, and it played in favour of Stockport, who were already throwing the kitchen sink at Sutton, but threw at it one more time to get a corner from the right-hand side from Tom Walker, who crossed it to the far post. Everyone had gone had ball watched and was attracted to the near, opening up the space for the smallest man in their team, James Jennings, to nod in literally with seconds remaining and stealing 2 points off of Sutton United on a day when they would have really needed those extra two. For Stockport, as Thomas stressed, a huge result. Why is it important Sutton drops points? Well, Hartlepool and Torquay both won their respective games, and they will feel that they've grown a little bit of hope from winning their games. Rhys Oates picked up the winning goal against Woking 10 minutes from time, and Torquay United won their match for Scott Brennan's second goal in two games for the home side to give each of them 3 points. We'll talk about the table shortly. Notts County won 2-0 at home against Yeovil through goals for Reeves and Barnett to keep up their good form recently. Eastleigh, as Tom's mentioned, beat Halifax by a goal to nil in that playoff hunt, which is ever so tight. Barnett, yet again, see defeat this week following the dismissal of Tim Flowers. They have lost 2-0 at home to Chesterfield. Altrincham lost late on against Dagenham Rebels through Josh Wright. Oh, John Hearn was there this weekend commentating on their stream. Very nice to hear that he was there. Big Leeds fan, as we know. Weymouth finally thrashed and really gave a lesson to Wealdstone of National League football at its finest. They've been one of the, you know, not the best teams in the league, but a fantastic demolition performance against Wealdstone through goals from Shields. Two who got two, McCoy and Cap also on the score sheet, not neglecting the final result. Bromley also in the playoff hunt, scored against Solihull Moors through Joseph Kizzy, who got booked 7 minutes earlier. So the table before we... Oh yeah, I forgot there's a game of the weekend. I'm so sorry to Bournemouth and Aldershot fans. They've had a 6-goal thriller at the EVP Stadium, and I don't know how I've ignored it. But well done to both sides for putting on a show. I'm sure whoever tuned into the stream, they were very well entertained. Phillips scored an own goal after 14, but Esther's equaliser came after 54 minutes before two unanswered goals from Corey Wiley and Kabongo Shimanga put Bournemouth in front by 2 goals. Josh Rees, though, pulled the rabbit out of the hat to score twice in the 64th and 78th minutes to give Aldershot the share of the points and a crucially dropping 2 for Bournemouth Wood. So now we can look at the table. I apologise again to Bournemouth Wood fans and Aldershot fans as well. We make mistakes on this podcast, they happen. Sutton United top still, 3 games in hand on Hartlepool, but the dropped 2 points against Stockport County means it's now down to 4 at the top of the National League, with Hartlepool and Torquay's respective wins closing the gap. Torquay now within 6 points of Sutton, also have 2 games in hand on Hartlepool. Stockport's point evidently means they remain 10 points behind Sutton, but for them, it was more just to protect themselves from going even further behind in the promotion race. Wrexham, currently fifth, level on points, did not play at the weekend as their match would have been against Dover. Then you have Notts County in sixth after their crucial win. Bromley in seventh, picking up three huge points, while Eastleigh now go level on points with Halifax in eighth after their victory on Saturday afternoon. Just goal difference, keeping them apart. It is actually very close when you take into consideration Stockport, who are in fourth position, and Eastleigh in ninth is now 4 points. The two drop points Bournemouth had against Aldershot really did affect them, as they're now dropping back in the race, 4 points off of Bromley in seventh. Chesterfield are in 11th, level on points with Maidenhead, and then you have Aldershot on 38, Yeovil on 38, Alstringham on 38 as well. So as I said earlier, you get a run of matches going, you may also find yourself in the playoff hunt. Solihull Moors and Dagenham and Redbridge, and there's a bit of a gap between Solihull and Dagenham. Solihull holding our 17th spot. Woking, Wilston, Weymouth, King's Lynn, Barnet are currently holding the bottom spots in the league. We are, as I've said already, we don't know what's going to happen to Dover. So, Tom, assessing that, you spoke about, obviously, Sutton's ill-fated last-minute equaliser against Stockport being against them, and the profitability that Hartlepool and Torquay had. Going into this week, obviously, we're quite sure right now Hartlepool United are the flavour of the town. They're unbeaten at home now in their last 9 games. They're turning into a really good team to play, a really good team at Victoria Park. It's just their road form, which isn't particularly good. But are they capable of keeping this one, despite in terms of games not having the advantage of playing matches in hand this season?
What we'll say about Hartlepool is they are very good at staying in games when something big goes against them. You looked at coming back into King's Lynn. They've been down to 10 men against Eastleigh recently. They always manage to grind out results. And I know you need wins, obviously, especially the great form Sutton have been in recently, and especially Sutton having 3 games in hand on Hartlepool. But yeah, I wouldn't rule them out quite yet. They've got, a fair few games to go till that big Sutton game, but they've been looking at that Sutton game as the big end goal. Can we be in that title race coming into that Sutton game? Most likely it could be right on the coattails of Sutton, especially look at the form Sutton have been in. So, yeah, for me, they've got the desire to come back from behind. And I think they've got the quality in the team for me to start winning regularly. For me, despite Torquay having 2 games in hand, I'd actually favour Hartlepool more to maybe a bit more of a go at catching Sutton. I think, don't be wrong, you look at Torquay winning at the weekend as well, but I just see a lot in Dave Chandler's Hartlepool side that tells me I think they're really capable of going on a run. If something were to slip up a couple more times in recent weeks, that'll make things a little bit edgy at Sutton. A little bit, obviously, one thing I will say about Sutton is that I think they've showed a lot of composure this season as well when they've had some results going against them. They don't usually lose back-to-back games. So that will be something Hartlepool have to think about. I think Hartlepool think that we've got to be relentless now. We've had a few draws recently. Let's build on that Woking win at the weekend. And we've shown in those draws that we've had to grind out the draws, for example, as I said, against Eastleigh and King's Lynn. And I think I've seen Hartlepool fans view them as actually not bad draws. And now they've got that win. They want to continue that winning form now. And I believe, I believe they can. And I think they'll be a real threat to Sutton. Again, you look at those game in hand Sutton have. But the saying is, he's rather have the points on the board. And, Hartlepool are still 4 points, still only 4 points off Sutton. So, I think there's more. I think there'll be more twists and turns to come, to be honest. And I can see Hartlepool being more than capable of putting a winning run together. Yes, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow night at Dagenham. Certainly aren't in bad form themselves, to be honest. I could see them climbing the table to a solid mid-table finish. But I think now Hartlepool will be looking at this is the time that we need to get the run together. And I look at the manager, I look at that team and think, they're capable of putting as much pressure on Sutton as they can. And they're the head of Torquay now. And it's going to be important just for the short term to stay ahead of Torquay, just keep yourself cement in that second spot, but keep that pressure on Sutton as well.
Let's just touch on Sutton again very quickly, because we spoke about them in, big like last week. Obviously, in the end, dropping points at the very last moment against Stockport County. It will have disappointed them, but in all honesty, Tom, I think they can afford just to not rest on their laurels per se, but drop one or two, knowing that they do have the cushion of a numerous number of games to fall back on, knowing that if they can keep their unbeaten run, this is 10 unbeaten now with 8 wins and 2 draws in the National League in this period, which Bakker has overseen brilliantly. There is a lot of feeling that even still, they can't afford to drop points. In your opinion, do you feel that they can still keep the hunt going for promotion, but at the same time, you can sometimes understand with the little squad they have, why they can sometimes just fall off the edge a little bit?
Despite Sutton having the games in hand, if Sutton would slip up a couple of times this week, you may think, would the nerves start to kick in a bit? And if Hartlepool can take advantage, despite Sutton having the games in hand, there's a chance Hartlepool might be top at the end this weekend if Sutton were to only pick up a point against Bromley Halifax. Hartlepool pick up maximum points this week. The momentum could easily change, to be honest. And I'm not saying if that happens, Sutton, let's say it's Hartlepool to lose now completely. Hartlepool are going to be the favourites. I could still see a lot. If Sutton were to slip up this week twice, I could still see Sutton gathering themselves again and getting another run going. But I think there's a chance for the momentum of the title race. It could certainly move the tide of momentum Sutton have got. It could move away from them slightly, to be honest, if they were to slip up in particularly this week. Obviously, Sutton have got two very, very tough games. This is going to be a big week for Sutton, actually. If Sutton could pick up 4 points minimum away from home against Bromley Halifax sitting 7th and 8th, that for me is a big statement saying Sutton are there to not be moved from that top spot. So it's a big week for Matt Gray's men. Not the most defining week. They still have time if they were to be knocked off top spot. There's no doubt about that. But as I said, Hartlepool, you know, if they were 10 this weekend top, it could be a little bit of a, you know, sights, you know, dent in Sutton's thinking about the confidence they maybe have to win the league. But then again, you know, looking at this Sutton team as well, I think they've seemed pretty level-headed, I suppose. And Sutton have shown it in the past as well, when they were looking to go out to the National League those 5 years ago, that Sutton did have a few blips in March time, but did manage to gather themselves. So history could, you know, well and truly repeat itself again for Sutton, that they could get over a little bit of a rough patch if it was to happen and still go on to win the league. But I suppose if you're looking at this as a neutral, could have one very interesting title race on your hands and maybe thinking there'll be nothing personal against something, but they may be thinking for a title. They want to see a title race going out to the wire, that a few more slip-ups for Sutton would just up that possibility of it going into the final couple of weeks of the season.
Particularly because the reason I touch on it is because they're just about to embark on 4 straight away games from Gander Green Lane. And that's where predominantly a lot of the base of their good form has come from. They've been very good at home recently, much like Hartlepool have been. But they've coupled that with some solid away performances as well, a la the victories against Kingsley and Chesterfield in the last 10 days. But trips to Bromley, Halifax on Saturday, which is a huge game, as Tom stressed, is 8th, 7th and 8th in the league, both playoff-chasing sides. Then you have Bournemouth, who are 9th, and it's a chain here. Solihull Musgrave near the bottom in 10th, near the bottom in 16th, I think it is, before that crunch game in front on the 8th, on the 13th of April, against Torquay United. And that will, obviously, all of that taken into consideration, this next run of games is pivotal to their season. So, as Thomas stressed, it is huge the next few games for Sutton United. If they are to really cement their hopes of being in pole position towards the end of the season, the next 4 are huge. 17 games to go. It's a long way, unfortunately. We normally would be closing out the season at this point, 5 or 6 games to go in the National League normally, with an April finish in mind. But the sheer number of games still to be played is absurd. And it's very likely we will only see this season 42 games. So what we're expecting now is the pressure on these sides, not only Sutton, not only Hartlepool and Torquay, but those around them, including, and I'm not ruling them out at all, pending the fact that Dover do lose their points and Notts County lose a game on their record, that will put them in a perfect position if they were to go on another run again like did last season to get into the playoffs. They may just be as big a threat as they were at the end of last season, albeit coming up short at Wembley. So bear in mind that it's not done yet, but as Tom says, the neutral would be glad to see a title race rather than a team running away with it at the end of the season. It wouldn't be great, but who knows? It'll be a miracle story for Sutton because of how long they've been in National League. It would be almost, you know, historical to say the least. One more shout out I feel we should give out today. Obviously, we spoke about Halifax last week and Eastleigh as well, but kind of got to give a bit of credit to Bromley. They're doing well. They've got another huge game against Sutton tomorrow night. Pressure's on them because they are in that position at the moment for playoff appearance at the end of the year. Neil Smith's doing something right with the team he's got there, but they will be rattled, obviously, by the fact that they lost there in such an ignominious fashion last month. How key is it, though, for them, not only tomorrow, but in the upcoming games to continue this streak of form, this new run of form they're on. I think it's, if I just look at it, it is, I'm thinking, they're beating their last four. So they're doing pretty good. Whereas Halifax won four in a row before losing. How important is it then for Bromley to just try and ebb away from those around them?
Yeah, you look at the confidence it would give them if they were to beat Sutton. They'll want that revenge as well after, you know, they went in front, 2-1 at Gangreen Lane, and Sutton pegged them back to, and they were defeated 3-2 in the end. That would have been a heartbreaking defeat for them. But they come into tomorrow's game on extremely good form. You look at the massive win they had against Yeovil. I think that was a huge one, to be honest. It was a last minute own goal from Ruben Reed, and that could really be the spark for a big run for Bromley. You know, if they were to win tomorrow, and maybe a few favours around them would be done as well, that could maybe have a little bit of a nice gap possibly appearing on the likes of Halifax and Eastleigh at the moment. Their closest chase is just Halifax and Eastleigh, both a point behind Bromley. But yeah, I think Bromley would be fancying their chances now, and they're one of the sides you look at. I think they are more than capable of being a playoff side. They play some really good stuff, and they've got some really seasoned National League players in their team who have proven its level. And you see in them now that, you know, the way they grounded out that win at Yeovil, and it was a good professional win over Solihull at the weekend now. They can maybe get a little run of nice clean sheets together as well. That'll be a bonus just to give them that extra bit of confidence. Obviously, you look at Bromley, they're pretty decent in terms of defensive stats in the league as well. Pretty solid in that respect. So they want to continue that. They've actually scored the same amount of goals as Sutton as well. So Bromley are actually, the goal difference is pretty solid in comparison with their, you know, their fellow top seven teams. So yeah, you look at Bromley, and I think you can look at them and Hartlepool, they're two sides. I think they're more than capable of going on really good runs now. And if I was at Bromley, I'll be thinking, we've got, you know, a game in hand on Wrexham. We're not too far off Stockport. Let's try and look up the table. Obviously, short term, they're looking at, let's try and pull the gap on Halifax and Eastleigh. But Bromley can really get through the end of this month and be in a super strong position. They'll be maybe thinking, can we get a better place in that top seven? So this is a big run of form for Bromley coming up, because it's been, I've always looked at that seventh spot, that's really up for grabs, but I've always been thinking as well, if someone just get a big run of form together, they could leave the chasers in the dust. And Bromley now are in the ascendancy, and I look at their squad, and I think they're more than capable of doing that, and beating the best team in the league tomorrow night would be a huge step to doing that.
Yep, massive chance at revenge, and I'm sure the likes of Webster, who conceded the own goal, will be looking to show that he's not as infallible as he was that night. He has a huge role at that club as a captain. Him and Liam Trotter being ex-Millwall players as well. They've played a big part in Bromley's form this season. And on top of that, they get goals from absolutely everywhere. So every single player in that team contributes to their goal tally, particularly Michael Cheek, who's the top scorer in the league this season. So he's a man to watch. Quick shout out as well to Dagan Rebic. 5 unbeaten for them. It's a good turn of form in the last few weeks. Just still in mid-table, but if they can keep that form up, who knows where they could go in the future. But they have a tough task tomorrow night as well. They're at home to Hartlepool. So if they're going to keep their good run of form up, they're going to need to do a big task against Dave Challoner's side. Bit of an anomaly this week as well. Notts County played Yeovil on Saturday. Guess what? They played them again on Tuesday. Something strange. You don't see it very often in this league, but they do meet again this week, having played them on Saturday at Meadow Lane. This time, they're playing at the Huish Park ground that is home of Yeovil Town. Keen to obviously complete a double over them. We mentioned Bromley against Sutton, a huge game there. Torquay hosts Solihull Moors. Stockport Keighley's a huge 6 points in the playoff hunt, particularly after Stockport's poor Saturday. They'll look to kick on against Easyside, who will look to get back into the top seven. We mentioned Dagenham against Hartlepool. Orchardham play Kings Lynn tomorrow night. Aldershot hosts Chesterfield. Wilston play Woking. Yeovil play the sequel of their tie against Notts County after their defeat on Saturday as the last of the games. No Dover, no Chesterfield tomorrow. And strangely, Weymouth Bournemouth is called off for some reason. I wonder why. But we'll figure that out sooner rather than later. Start of the week. So I've now given Tom responsibility because I'm useless at this sort of thing. So Tom, you are the man on this particular part of the podcast to choose who our star of the week is.
I'm going to give it to Josh Rees, Aldershot, as you mentioned, Ahmed, with 3-1 down to Bournemouth. And yeah, he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, gets 2 goals towards the end to give Aldershot a valuable point. And as you said there, Ahmed, Aldershot maybe looking at them as an outside shot to get playoffs if there were some favours done around them as well, and Bromley don't go on a run. So yeah, Aldershot might be looking at possibly at the end of the season maybe as a big point if they can really get their season going. But yeah, congratulations Josh Rees, 2 key goals, getting them a valuable point, keeps them close to Bournemouth as well in the table. So it's a good momentum for Aldershot to take into this week's fixtures.
Absolutely, and hopefully that can kick on into a playoff hunt in the near future. They unfortunately didn't get to fulfil their FA Trophy tie a little while ago because obviously, no, they did. They lost to Hereford, but they would have liked to have gone one step further in that competition. But well done to Josh Rees. Great job for him. Shout out to Connor Shield as well for 2 goals away on Saturday as well. Big job from him to in their 4-0 win against Wilson. Scant in terms of the position in the league, obviously with their no relegation, but a good morale booster for Brian Stock's side as well. So that, I guess, is it from us this week. Another incredible week of football in the National League is done, but we're not going to stop just there. We are waiting for another big week of football, particularly with the away trips for Sutton, the hunt, everyone's hunting them down at this point in the season. We don't know where it could go. But again, big thanks to Tom. Appreciate you coming on, mate, and thanks for once again adding your 2 cents to many of our situations in the National League this week.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure. And yeah, the show goes on. You know, could that Stockport-Sutton game be a big turning point in both team seasons? Could that Eastleigh win completely, you know, turn the tide of the playoff race? We'll see how it pans out this week's fixtures. So yeah, looking forward to talking about it all next week. Notably, some high scoring games and more twists and turns, which is what we like to see.
Absolutely, and we love talking about them. That's the most important thing. But yeah, kudos, Tom. Thanks a lot, mate. And to all of you listening, thank you for tuning in as well, sticking with us through this period. We, as always, really appreciate all of you listening to our podcast week in, week out, as we do love this wonderful thing that is non-league. And we do hope the closer we get to the summer, the more likely we get to see you all at grounds again. We are aiming to be able to talk to one and everyone in the non-league system, not just in the National League, but beyond, as far as the eye can see. So, you know, stick with us as we're sticking with the system as it is right now. We hope to be able to see you all very soon. But in terms of this podcast, it is sayonara for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed listening. And as always, give me a party, a shout out, a look out, and also have a look at Finally Sports as well. Keep a give it a good old listen on the Chris Commons pod as well. We are looking to get a few more on the Not 90 Extra podcast as well, so do keep an eye out on that too. Outside of that, it's another great week of national football. We look forward to being able to bring it to you next week. But in the meantime, have a good week. And if you don't know now, now you know. Take care, everyone, and have a good week. See you soon.